Good morning. The Lord be with you. Welcome as we share this morning in this service, the Holy Eucharist or Holy Communion. Those of you who may be here as visitors, haven't been in this church perhaps before, you're very welcome. And we welcome you, Canon Walter and I, this morning in the absence of the rector. The rector, we have great difficulty encouraging him to take a little bit of time off. It's half term, he's with his family, and we will think of him during this service. But hopefully all will take an active part so that it can be a joyful occasion. And if you are a visitor, please have a word with us at the end of the service. We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Appointed prayer or collect for this Sunday. Father in heaven, whose Son Jesus Christ was wonderfully transfigured before chosen witnesses upon the holy mountain and spoke of the exodus he would accomplish at Jerusalem, give us strength so to hear his voice and bear our cross in this world, that in the world to come we may see him as he is, where he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please sit for the epistle.
This passage is chosen to harmonize with today's theme of glory. Christ is glorious, says Paul, with the glory of God himself, and the light he brings shines in our hearts. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as our slaves for Jesus Christ. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Hallelujah.
the Lord's closest friends see him transfigured upon a mountaintop, in disclosure of his true identity. In the presence of the figures of Moses and Elijah, a cloud of glory comes upon him, and the voice of the Holy One is heard. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them any more, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of our ever-living and ever-loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder, have you ever said something daft in response to something that may have frightened you or startled you? I don't mean anything particularly regrettable, just a silly, off-the-cuff, spur-on-the-moment response. If so, then take heart, for you're in very good company. St. Peter was always engaging his mouth before his brain. And today's gospel account is absolutely no exception. Here was a man who had witnessed for himself a most amazing and also frightening sight. Jesus had seemingly taken on a rather non-earthly appearance. That's about how we would really describe it, a non-earthly appearance. And he seemed to be talking with two figures, Moses and Elijah, later identified. And afterwards, Peter immediately suggests to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good to be here. Let's build three tents or dwellings or tabernacles, whatever you want to call them." He didn't know what else to say. That's what St. Mark's account says. Almost apologetic for opening his mouth and blurting out the first thought that came into his head. He didn't know what to say. In fact, we are told by theologians that St. Mark's Gospel is really St. Peter's Gospel, because Mark was a young boy at the time of Jesus and wouldn't have known the whole of the Gospel account, but St. Peter may have told him about it all, as we believe. And if that is so, well then, was Peter making his own apology? He didn't know what else to say. However, maybe on reflection, there was a little bit of method in his madness. Because in the Jewish calendar, there is an annual festival called the Festival of Booths, or Tabernacles, or Dwelling Places. And it was there to celebrate the exodus out of Egypt, when the people had to live in makeshift dwellings, tents, in other words. And so this annual Festival of Tents occurred round about mid-August to mid-September. In the Christian calendar, we keep the Festival of the Transfiguration. We don't keep it today. We keep it on the 6th of August. So maybe the church's calendar is not all that far out. But today we think more of the actual significance of that event as opposed to simply the celebration of the Transfiguration. Do you get what I'm saying? There is a subtle difference, the significance as apart from the celebration. So we ask ourselves, what then is the significance? Well, the answer is this. Today, we are on the threshold of Lent, which begins this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. We have notification of that in your pew leaflet. Lent takes us on a journey through suffering, a journey through Holy Week, a journey to the cross on Good Friday, and on to Easter Day itself. Now, Jesus, in his humanity, sees the writing on the wall, so to speak. He has experienced rejection. He has experienced isolation. He has experienced even hatred from the authorities. And he can see the cross looming before him. And because of that, whilst in intense prayer, he has this vision of Moses and of Elijah. Moses stood for the lawgiver. Elijah stood for the prophet. And it was as though Moses and Elijah, the lawgiver and the prophets, they were encouraging Jesus and saying to him, yes, go ahead. You must go to the cross. This is your mission. This is why you have come down to this earth. You are doing the right thing. But let's just return to St. Peter for a moment. A man who was shocked, a man who was surprised by what he had seen. And see if we can relate that for a moment to ourselves, to our own Christian faith. Because in the Christian lifestyle, you and I are taught to expect the unexpected from God. Isn't that right? We are taught to expect great things from God and to expect that God can do great things through us. Well, isn't that why we take our prayers to God? Isn't that why we, as Scripture encourages us, to cast all our cares upon him? You wouldn't do that if you didn't expect great things from him, would you? On the other hand, if we hold to a faith that expects nothing, if we hold on to a faith in which everything has to be explained away, if we hold on to a faith that has nothing to surprise us, nothing to even shake us up, then we can be fairly sure it's not the real thing, is it? In 7 weeks' time, we shall hear the wonderful Easter Gospel. What do we say? Do we say, "Ach, we've heard it all before, year after year"? It'll run off us like water off a duck's back, if that's the case. Or will we have enough faith to allow ourselves to look again for the element of surprise and to enter into that wonderful news of hope, that wonderful news of salvation, that wonderful news of expectation that the early Christians once experienced? We have a gospel to proclaim. That's what we shall sing at the very end of this service. So let us sing it with conviction. Let us sing it with renewed surprise. And when we do that, we will, in the words of the hymn, tell his worth. Now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to thee we ascribe all might, majesty, dominion, and glory, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Amen.
Meeting as members of this faith community gives us the opportunity of professing together our faith and our belief and our conviction that God is present. The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We join together in the prayers of the people as we pray for the world and community of which we are part. Let us pray.
Our prayers this morning will finish with the general thanksgiving prayer, which will be found on page 99 in the Book of Common Prayer, or page 36 in the large print edition. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have brought us safely to the beginning of another day, and we thank you for your tender, loving care. Help us to face confidently everything that today brings. Through our weakness, bring your strength. Through our anxieties, your calm. Through any distress, your comfort and grace. And through our lives, your presence and your love. To your loving care, we commend all those who are dear to us. Be in every wounded heart, every troubled home. Be with all who suffer pain and distress, giving the blessing of your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you have made us members of Christ and of his church. You have taught us through him that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Make us more truly thankful for all your goodness. Help us to deepen our commitment to you as stewards of our time, of our talents, and of our treasure. Guide us in all things to know and do your will, for the honour and glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this diocese and this parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. We also ask your blessing on the many who assist in making this parish welcoming, the organizations successful, and the church most fulfilling. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, at this time of uncertainty throughout the world, give all in positions of leadership the mindfulness to make the correct decisions to bring peace and stability to all. In our own situation, show our politicians the way forward with the Brexit negotiations. And at home, the reforming of our own Parliament in Stormont for the benefit of everyone. Lord, in your mercy. Now let us together say the general thanksgiving prayer. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we thine unworthy servants do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of life, but above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be with you also, always with you. Let us share that sign of peace one with the other. Yours the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Thank you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate peace.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Jesus, Redeemer of the
Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers at his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change and save. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We say, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you now and always. I trust that all of you will reflect on the theme and subject of this morning's service as you make your way home. There are a few announcements. I realise they may appear to be intrusive. Nevertheless, they're important. First of all, to welcome those of you who have joined us in the last 5 minutes. I see a number of our young parishioners, boys and girls. You've met up and joined with your families. And it's great to see you, and I hope you've had a good time this morning and discovered something new in your groups and in your classes. So we'll say hello to one another as we leave the church again shortly. I've been asked to announce that the Mothers Union Afternoon Group will meet tomorrow, the 12th of February at 2:30. The speaker will be Mrs. Marion Gibson. She's a very good and engaging speaker. The leader is Joy Montgomery. If you want any further details, ask Joy, and I'm sure she will enlighten you accordingly. The rector has asked me also to mention that parishioners here who wish to be confirmed this year will be encouraged to consider the service at St. Malua's in Stormont at the end of April. And should you, or a member of your family, whatever age you may be, should you wish to consider confirmation this year, would you please leave your name at the parish office at any point during this coming week? And the last thing I want to say this morning, I think it's important. The rector is having a very short break. You and I know that he works here in this parish 24/7, serving the people, and he'll continue to do so. But he has the opportunity of spending a little time with his family this week. He will be here on Wednesday evening, Ash Wednesday, at the evening service. But other than that, I would ask you please to give him and his family some space this week. Should you have any particular matter that occurs that it seems important, you can contact me, you can contact Canon Walter. But what we don't want to hear is that somebody has knocked at the front door with some small little matter that could wait until next Sunday. I know from my time here with you, you'll take note of that and act accordingly. The closing hymn.
Thank you.
We trust that you'll have a good day and an encouraging week. So go now in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.